The Truth News Network. Today's noise giving you heartburn? D-A-N. That's how you spell relief. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Here's Dan Newman.
You know how today I spell relief? It's not just one word. It's let's get through all this crud that we're dealing with and get on the other side of it. That will be some relief for all of us. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome to Truth News Network. And today, we've got another cog in the wheel of controversy in America that's going to play out, at least coming up in November. Voting by mail. And we titled today's story, Let the Fight Begin. Here we go. All those for making voting so much easier for Americans now have another arrow in their quiver for what they term justification for voting by mail. And their new arrow has a name. Coronavirus. We saw it play out in the Wisconsin Democrat primary election just a few weeks ago. Back and forth, from court to court, filing lawsuits, filing appeals, the Wisconsin governor weighing in with his decision, and another court overturn. Wisconsin voters voted, period. And that's really all that matters. Sure, there were some fears of coronavirus, and there should have been, but it's reasonably certain that everyone that voted had their one vote count. I said one vote, because that has not always been the case. In many, many lessons throughout American history, people have cheated and have voted multiple times, often have lied and voted as somebody else. But that's a part of the story we'll get into a bit later. But we do know this one thing. Coronavirus is and will be changing everything for at least a good while in the nation. That's probably going to include the November election. So what are my instructions to you? Buckle up. The fight has already begun. In recent history, voters in national elections know almost immediately after polls close who's going to be the next president. Electronics and voting have made it very simple. But it's not going to be very easy in November this fall. And it probably is not going to be any easier in any day, election day, going forward. Because of a massive increase in mail-in voting in states that are just not accustomed to it, the presidential election could take a week or more to be decided. Public officials are just now beginning to grapple with how to get ready for it, how to get themselves prepared and the country for this unprecedented situation. It's a culture shift that's going to be required, said Vanita Gupta, who's president and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. She said this in an interview. We should be prepared to wait at least a week before the results can be certified. Gupta, who oversaw the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division from 2014 to 2017, said that her organization, which is one of the oldest civil rights groups in the country, they do a lot of good work, would work with other groups over the next several months to raise awareness and create an expectation among both voters and journalists that results should just not be expected on election night because we're probably, it's almost certain, we're not going to get them. People are going to have to be able to be patient to wait for the tallies, Gupta said. That's an uncomfortable position for a lot of folks. The media's not used to it. The public's not used to it. Candidates aren't used to it. But she said election officials need to be able to do their job to make sure they are counting every ballot. The danger would be if there is false pressure that gets built in and people are disenfranchised because of this false pressure. No concern expressed there about voter fraud, right? Tom Perez, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, said that, quote, if we have a vote-by-mail state that is close, I would rather be in a position where everybody's vote got counted. I think that should be our gold standard, is that everyone who wanted to participate was able to participate. I'd rather get it right than get it at 10 o'clock on election day night. Well, it's a fact, folks. Vote by mail already exists. We have 5 states that currently conduct all their elections entirely by mail. They are Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, and Utah. At least 21 other states have laws that allow certain smaller elections, such as school board contests, to be conducted by mail. For these elections, all registered voters receive their ballot through the mail. The voter marks the ballot, puts it in a secrecy envelope or sleeve, and then into a separate mailing envelope, signs an affidavit on the exterior of the mailing envelope, and returns the package via mail or by dropping it off. Ballots are mailed out well ahead of Election Day, and thus voters have an election period, not just a single day to vote. All mail elections can be thought of as absentee voting for everyone. This system is also referred to as vote by mail. While all mail elections means that every registered voter receives a ballot by mail, this does not stop them from in-person voting opportunities on and before Election Day. For example, even though all registered voters in Colorado are mailed a ballot, voters can choose to cast their ballot at an in-person vote center during the early voting period or on Election Day, or drop off or mail their ballot back in. Generally, states begin with providing all mail elections only in certain circumstances, and then they add additional opportunities as citizens in their states become familiar with the way it works. Oregon's vote-by-mail timeline includes four times that the legislature acted before the 98 citizens' vote that made Oregon the first all-mail election state. All states today will already mail an absentee ballot to individual voters who ask for one. In two-thirds of the states, any qualified voter can vote absentee without even offering an excuse. And in one-third of the states, an apology for not voting in person is required. Some states offer a permanent absentee ballot list. Once a voter asks to be added to that list, he or she will automatically receive an absentee ballot for all future elections. So what about voter fraud? Oh my gosh. We hear more about voter fraud pretty much than we do about vote by mail. Mention those words at a Democrat Party function, voter fraud, and you'll be immediately tossed from the function. That's like the proverbial something ugly got slipped into the punch bowl. That forces one to ask and try to answer this question. Why are so many Democrats so adamant for mail-in voting while being just as adamantly against voter ID requirements? Yeah, we'll discuss it a bit, but there's no absolute answer that we'll find before we're done. Let's start with some words from leaders in one of those five states who already conduct their elections totally through the mail. Oregon.
It's an issue that cuts across party lines.
Don't boo. Vote.
Getting out the vote.
Everyone needs to show up and vote.
The folks in Oregon think they have figured it out.
You have some pretty nasty things to say about the polling place.
I think the polling place has become the single biggest voter suppression device in American politics.
Phil Kiesling used to be the Democratic Secretary of State here. Dennis Richardson, a Republican, has the job now. And while much of the country is divided down party lines, these two are in total agreement when it comes to the state's vote-by-mail system.
It's well embraced.
They say their system gets more people voting and is also cheaper and more secure.
You can't hack paper.
Thank you, sir.
20 years ago, Oregon was the first state to adopt an entirely vote-by-mail system.
Got your ballots for you?
Every single registered voter in the state, more than 2.5 million, receives a ballot via the U.S. Postal Service.
You don't have to ask for it.
Correct.
You don't have to fill out a form.
Correct.
It just comes.
Yes. Isn't it amazing in its simplicity? Give everyone their ballot and then let them decide where they want to mark it, whether they want to mark it at all.
No need to worry about work schedules, childcare, or weather, or a voter ID card. 32 states now require one. The majority of ballots come in from hundreds of secure drop sites, though you can mail it back as well. As for security, each signature is verified against voter registration cards. Voters can ask for a text confirming their ballot was counted. What about voters who have died, moved, or changed names? Is there a threat that someone could pretend to be them and vote their ballot?
You bet it could happen. They'd be committing a felony, vote by vote. This is about one of the most stupid of ways to try to steal an election.
What is your message to the states who are thinking about massive expenditures for new voting machines to try to tighten down the cybersecurity of a very leaky system in some cases?
Save your tens, even hundreds of millions of dollars. Don't replace your aging machines. Throw them on the scrap pile. Go back to paper ballots. Then think hard about abolishing the polling place and moving to a system that puts the voter first and that is going to, in every election, get far more people casting ballots.
Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, Portland, Oregon.
That all sounds so easy, doesn't it? You know what? Voting should be easy, should be simple. And as you've just heard, those who so vehemently support mail-in voting to a person disavow any claim or claims of voter fraud. Have you ever heard this? There's no proof in any federal election on record of there being massive voter fraud like Republicans and President Trump claim. Notice that word, massive? That's the caveat that allows them to make that argument. But there is plenty of evidence of massive voter fraud. The problem is that states, not the federal government, run all elections. Normally, states conduct their own elections in tandem with federal elections. And whether or not Democrats, or any other person for that matter, want to dispute the existence of systemic voter fraud, that person awakens daily in la-la land. Believe me. Tom Fitton, you've heard the name, he's the president of Judicial Watch, has on behalf of his company filed numerous lawsuits against states, individuals, corporations, and other municipalities for voter fraud. Sometimes the alleged voter fraud can be written off as accidental, but not very often. Fitton, in his research and subsequent lawsuits, have found millions, folks, millions of voters and votes that were and are ineligible to vote in every kind of imaginable election. Local, state, and federal. Why would those on the left simply shrug those claims and say, voter fraud, it just doesn't happen?
Elizabeth Warren's presidential campaign, the most annoying on record, expired some time ago, but she remains to lecture America and you specifically on your shortcomings. Her latest crusade, inspired by the coronavirus, is an absolute demand for nationwide mail-in voting.
What's happening right now shows us exactly why we need a plan for voting safely during a pandemic. Now, there's a simple fix to make sure that no American will have to choose between voting and keeping themselves safe and healthy. All states should allow Americans to vote by mail. It's easy to vote by mail. And in addition, there should be online registration, extended registration deadlines, and expand early voting.
Sounds kind of reasonable. They're a little less reasonable over on MSNBC, where one guest argued if you don't want mail-in voting, you're a murderer.
This thing in Wisconsin was one of the most awful things I've ever seen in my life. It'll just go you the extent that what they will go to hold on to power. It was all about one Supreme Court seat in Wisconsin. They will kill people to stay in power, literally.
literally kill people. Unless you're for the Elizabeth Warren plan, you're literally killing people. You have blood on your hands. Let's take this seriously for a moment. Everyone's afraid. Everyone's rethinking how we do things. Should we do it a new way? And that's okay. We should be open-minded. Why haven't we had mail-in ballots for the last 230 years? Maybe the reason is mail-in ballots are an invitation to widespread fraud and manipulation. And if you want to rattle people's faith in the system that we've had for centuries, maybe you would do that. I don't know. Tom Fitton's thought a lot about it. He's president of Judicial Watch. He joins us tonight. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
So it's just so interesting in a moment like this, people gravitate towards solutions that make you wonder, particularly when they all align behind one solution, it makes you wonder, like, why are they all for this? I mean, maybe it's a good idea, maybe it's not, but why are they for it, do you think?
I think they want to set up a system that makes it easier to steal elections. They don't want mail-in voting the way people understand it. There's already widely available absentee ballots. absentee voting available to Americans. And that obviously should maybe be more widely available if this contagion continues in the fall. But they don't like that because a lot of the states, or too many of the states, actually require you to send an ID in with your absentee ballot. And they want to overturn that. So this plan is to overturn the voter ID laws in 35 states, have mailing to lists that are dirty. We just sued today in North Carolina. They have, according to our analysis, about 1 million, nearly 1 million inactive voters. Most people who hadn't voted since, let's say, 2014. So are we going to start mailing inactive voters, people who've died or move away, ballots? It's an open invitation for ballot fraud and voter fraud. And look, the safest way to vote, if you want secure voting, is in person, private. When you take that away, it's anything goes. And of course, they want to add ballot harvesting to it, where they would allow third parties to go around, bang on doors, and collect ballots. What a nightmare! We're destroying our economy. We're limiting our freedoms. And now they just want to blow up our elections. And we can't let that happen, Tucker.
If you take to, I mean, first of all, I think people should be allowed to vote, obviously. Citizens should be allowed to vote, and you shouldn't make it too hard for them to vote. You shouldn't put barriers up. I actually agree with them on that. But if you care about democracy, you want to keep people's confidence that it's real, right? And so you want to make sure that non-citizens aren't voting, for example. But they want to do the opposite, which tells you everything. Tom, great to see you tonight.
Thank you.
Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch have been busy finding places where voter fraud is rampant. You just heard his comments about a million bogus votes discovered in North Carolina. It's not just in North Carolina, folks, believe me. Los Angeles County, the biggest county in America, has started the process of removing from its registration rolls an estimated 1.5 million inactive voters who have moved, they've died, or become ineligible to cast a ballot. An effort to comply with federal election law and a court settlement with Judicial Watch. The county recently mailed notices to the inactive voters in an effort to verify their residency status and whether they're still alive. It's the first time in 20 years that LA County has cleaned its voter rolls, having previously interpreted the federal law requiring it as not mandatory. And then there's this. We know for certain there's voter fraud in mail-in voting. We know someone personally who did it. Listen to this. In 2011, a lady decided to test the system, the voting system. And so she asked for 3 voter registration applications from the county voter registration office in her county in Florida. She filled them out, listing 3 different names, 2 that she pulled out of her head, Rebecca Bugle and Hannah Arndt, and her own name, Margaret Mingy. Margaret listed her real date of birth and made up dates of birth for the other 2. On the lines where the application asked for a driver's license number or last 4 of a social security number, she wrote none, as the instructions said to do if a person had neither of those. A couple of weeks later, she got 2 notices back in the mail saying applications for Rebecca Bugle and Margaret Mingy could not be processed because a driver's license number or social security number wasn't provided. But Margaret also received in her mailbox a new voter information card for Hannah Arndt. On the outside of the card, her mailman had circled a name and address and written a question mark in pencil, but he still put the letter and the card in her mailbox. A couple of days later, Margaret checked the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections website, and sure enough, there was Hannah Arndt listed as an eligible voter, a person who existed in history, the celebrated author of Eichmann in Jerusalem, but not a person who was in existence in 2011 and certainly not in Palm Beach County, Florida. Not long after, with an election approaching, she called the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections, said she was Hannah Arndt, and asked for an absentee ballot. The employee on the phone asked for a date of birth, and when she got that information from Hannah's initial application, July 20th, 1991, she said she'd send one. The absentee ballot for Hannah Arndt appeared via mail a couple of weeks later. Margaret called a former Florida Secretary of State in 2012 and asked him how it was possible she was able to do this. Well, he said, the fact is that they checked names of people applying to register to vote against several different databases, but they have no way to check to see whether somebody exists. That's just one way people can cheat with absentee ballots. There are a whole bunch more. Last year, a political operative working for North Carolina Republican congressional candidate Mark Harris was charged with fraud for directing a group of folks to fill out as many as 1,000 absentee ballot requests on behalf of voters, most of whom were unaware the ballots were even requested. These people then collected the ballots, filled them out themselves. Harris defeated Democrat Dan McCready by just 905 votes, and though it was never shown that the number of tainted ballots was enough to account for Harris's win, the election results were thrown out, thank God, and a new election was held. Incidentally, Republican Dan Bishop beat McCready in a special election by 2,400 votes. Also in 2019, a Democratic city clerk in Southville, Michigan, was arrested, charged with 6 felonies for falsifying absentee ballot records to say that 193 of the ballots in one election were missing signatures or a return date, when in fact they had both. The correct records were found in a trash can in her office. To wrap this up, folks, voting in person or mail-in ballots both seem pretty simple, pretty appropriate. But the one absolute in these two methods is that when a person in person shows up at a voting precinct, gives their name, and presents an ID to confirm they are the same person as the registered name in the registrar's voter database, those running that election know this: a legal voter just cast an election ballot. In a similar case, but one using mail-in voting, there is absolutely no way possible for anyone to guarantee the person whose name is on the ballot above their signature is the person who actually showed up to vote. Period. Mail-in voting is a really big deal right now. It's not so much because of coronavirus, which is the narrative Democrats are cramming down the throats of Americans. Anyway, it's looking as if our pandemic may mostly, if not totally, be resolved before September 1, thank God. That, if it happens, means the November election should proceed in normal fashion. But there's one big glitch in all this. There always is. The glitch's name is COVID-19. If our pandemic has not disappeared or is not in a status in which voting in person is safe, absentee balloting is almost a sure thing. I just hate to think about how easy it will be for those who wish to cheat in voting, find it really easy to do. And by the way, mail-in voting must be done for the 2020 election, according to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She stated weeks ago, any new stimulus package that includes dollars for Americans that the House considers, that bill must contain a provision for permanent mail-in voting for each state, or she will not give American businesses or the Americans' people another dime. You know what? I can't wait for November. I'm tired of all this. Let's go vote. Hey, that's a wrap on today's story. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, 9 o'clock, 9 till 11 Central Time, we'll be back here with 2 hours of streaming talk radio right here at Truth News Network. The show's called TNN Live. How do you find it? Click on that blue horizontal banner up at the top of this story on the right side. At 9 o'clock sharp, it'll take you right to the broadcast. You can call in, weigh in with your thoughts, your ideas, even ask questions. You never know. We have guests on all the time. You can even talk to them when you call in sometimes. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you in just a little while, right back here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.